through the earth, through the sea, and to see the marvelous wonders of your hand. Thank you for creating all things for the glory of your name and the blessings of humanity. Thank you for creating us, part of this mammoth plan in the universe. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to this planet that have sinned, to bear our own sinful nature upon your holy nature, that by your own birth of holiness, by your own sinless life, and by your own prayer and intercession and teachings on earth, and by your own suffering all the way unto death for our every sin, past, present, and to come, and by your own resurrection, you can grant us the forgiveness of sin and the healing and restoration as new creatures in Jesus, blessed by faith through you. Thank you for imputing your own righteousness upon us, sinful man. And thank you for the groaning of the Holy Spirit on our behalf as we pray for ourselves, our families, our friends, our neighbors, our loved ones, and your church worldwide. And thank you for groaning and interceding on behalf of all people in the world. Thank you for the signs and wonders and miracles we have experienced individually, and we have seen working through trust in you in the life of great many people. Lord, may your living words of life be broken before us today. May it satisfy the hunger of our souls. May it answer many of our questions in a hopeful, heavenly, prosperous way. And may your Holy Spirit alone be our wonderful counselor and teacher and preacher to guide us unto all truth present in our life, in our families, in the world, and the truth to come. And may your divine power and strength be made perfect in our human weakness. All those, O Lord, who came to you when you were on earth have been blessed, have been comforted, have been healed, and also gloried in your name when you raised their dead. May you raise us from the state of spiritual death, and may you revive us again. You know our needs, you know our fears, you know our concerns and petitions. May it be granted according to your grace and mercy and will, today and for the weeks and months and years to come. May you be alone, Lord, over our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, for those of you who are not with us last week, we talked about why we doubt and why we fear. And we talked about the constant battle between faith in God and faith in self and in others and in things of this world. You know, isn't it natural when things go wrong, you want to talk to somebody? You know, isn't it natural that when you get sick, you want to consult a physician? It's natural, isn't it? And when you are hurting or when you face rejection from somebody, don't you want to cry it out and be heard by somebody? Yes. When you are getting some hints that you will be laid off from the job, isn't that a concern that can prompt lots of fears? When your own siblings or loved ones are not believing in Jesus and really wandering in the world, and when they hear his voice and yet follow it not, don't you carry concerns and fears for their lives? And what can happen at any time? When you have loved ones who are sick, don't you get concerned for them? You know, as long as we live on this earth, Jesus said we will have tribulations. Do we have tribulations today? We have troubles, but not tribulations. The people who are hungry and don't know if they will eat every day, they have tribulations. People who don't have drinking waters, and I have read that and I have seen it on TV, who have to follow an animal to drink their urine, they have severe tribulations. People who don't have homes and they go and sleep in cardboards on the bridges in this country and go and sleep under a tree to shelter from the cold have tribulations. We don't. And I have warned before, we are very capable of spoiling ourselves rotten out of blessings. We have troubles every day, but we don't have tribulations. So the most important thing for us to do every morning, we are going to be facing many situations where we're going to have to make many decisions. Isn't it true? We make on average 10,000 decisions a day. 10,000. In little and major ways. And every decision we make have an outcome. They have consequences. Good or bad. And the Bible said, be anxious about nothing. But in all things, with prayer and supplication, and don't forget this, with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. That is the key. Early morning, before you get out of bed, you had to rush to the bathroom because you need to do that. But it is very wise that you thank God that you started another new day and then turn everything in your heart and mind and soul in prayer unto Him. Let the Holy Spirit guide you in prayer. Then go to your thing and have your devotion. Have some words of encouragement and trust your life into the hand of Jesus. If you don't start your day that way, I guarantee you, you're going to have many unhappy consequences. Many things that could have been completely different have happened because we did not trust all things to the Lord in prayer. And then when you have certain concerns about life, whether in relationships, or whether about a job, or whether about anything, ask yourself the question, did you count your blessings first? Did you count your blessings first? And which one of these blessings you want to substitute for what is of your most concern? You know, in counseling, meeting with lots of people, I feel so disheartened for them as they tell me about their problems. Most of our problems, not all, most of our problems is embedded in our self-centeredness and lack of gratitude for what we've got. It's true. And you know, when people are expressing all of their hurts and pain, I try to listen carefully to see what they are thankful for. For our prayers to be answered. The Bible said, in all things, not in some things, in all things give thanks. For it is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. Nothing is happening to us that bypass the sight of Jesus. Everything happened to us already past His own office of grace. He allows for His children. But He still watches over the just and the unjust. And the Bible said, He let His Son to shine over the righteous and the unrighteous. He's a loving God. But the major difference for the righteous and the unrighteous of who they trust and where is their faith. Peter, last week, a fisherman, uneducated, along with his brother Andrew. That's kind of nice that my nephews are Andrew and Peter there. You know, uneducated, poor people, lived on fishing, were completely unknown, but by the name of their own family. And you know, here comes the Savior of the world, the Son of God, the King of Kings. And He passed by them and He told them to drop their nets. What? give up my job? This is the only thing we have to supply the needs of our family, and you're asking us to drop our nets. Didn't he say, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things shall be added unto you? It's amazing that when they listened to the voice of Jesus and when they looked at him, they have seen something unique, something powerful, something different about this man that really gave them the faith to drop their net. And he said, I will make you fishers of men. How can a fisherman really understand what Jesus said? Fishers of men? That's a heavy term. They studied today in the seminary. But they believed. And they dropped their nets. So there was some kind of faith in the heart. And then Jesus took them to strengthen their faith. He began to teach them about the kingdom of God. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. The more you read the Bible and read the stories of all of these millions of people in the Bible about their struggle with sin, their struggle to meet their needs, their struggle with faith in Jesus, and how God intervened, interrupted to save and to transform, you look at their life, and the only thing you should be getting out of this is hope for you, and hope for me, and hope for our families, and great hope for tomorrow. When we do not read the Word of God, what happens? We turn our faith from God and his living promises to ourselves, to others, and to things. And that is where things become pretty messy. Because we resort to ungodly ways to satisfy our inner needs or to calm our own fears. And it doesn't work. It doesn't work. You know, when someone goes to the doctor with some kind of cold or sickness or anything, they don't want to hear the doctor said you have pneumonia and we have to keep you in the hospital. Correct? They're hoping that the doctor said, oh, it is just a little cold. Here's some medicine. We'll take care of it. But they still go for the diagnosis. And when the doctor said, oh, we feel something horrible in your lung. We really have to run some tests. And the test showed, we have to keep you here for a few days. You know, they began to be afraid. Because we often lived with just cold symptoms. And suddenly when the doctor said there's something in your lung and we have to keep you and run some tests, fear arises. But is that a blessing or is that a curse? That's a great blessing. That's a great blessing. Do you know pain is a real blessing? Pain is a real blessing. If you have physical pain, thank God you have feelings in your nerves. Thank God that your nervous system is working properly, because the body for many years and all of the systems of the body, whether it's digestive or circulatory or perhaps the nervous system, the body worked together in unison in a mighty, intricate, marvelous way. When we are not sick and all is going well, the body already adjusted to what well means. But when something began to go wrong inside the body that we cannot see, in the stomach, or in the veins, or in the heart, or in the brain, or anywhere, suddenly the body began to signal some problems. And that's a blessing, that the nervous system is saying, well, something is not normal. And so we feel the headaches, correctly? And so we feel the pains in the muscles. And that is a gift of God, because now we know that we need extra help. And the Bible said, our help cometh always from heaven, from the Father above, who give us and bestow upon us great gifts. And as someone said this morning, we cannot experience the fullness of joy unless we have experienced what sorrow is. We cannot experience great health and the joy and the blessing thereof, and we cannot really be grateful for it unless we experience some pain. So pain is really a great blessing to keep us sane, safe, and to help us actually live a long, blessed life of faith. Peter walked with Jesus. Jesus showed Peter great many miracles in his life, in his family. He healed his mother-in-law, and Peter was there when Jesus opened the eyes of the blind. Peter was there when Jesus healed a paralyzed man who was by the Sea of Bethesda, the Lake of Bethesda, for 38 years sick. Peter was there when Jesus raised the dead, Lazarus, and a child of a mother who passed away. Peter was there, and by beholding, he became changed. And he began to believe that Jesus indeed is the Son of God, empowered with divine powers from heaven. For 3.5 years of ministry, you think that Peter's faith was mighty enough. But he wasn't. What was the problem last week? Peter assessed his faith in Jesus mentally, but not heartily. He had a misconception about Jesus. His ideas and his thoughts and understanding of who Jesus was correct, because it was very evident by the life of Christ that Jesus is mighty, he is a great teacher, he is indeed a healer and a physician and a God who have all miracles, and it seemed that even the devil surrendered to him, because he have seen Jesus casting out 2,000 demons from a man. So he knew that Jesus is invincible, and therefore he believed that Jesus, that's where the mistake is, came down to earth to establish his own kingdom of Israel, in which Peter desired to be a high-ranking officer. And therefore he believed that as long as Jesus is alive and on earth, no harm will befall him. And what went wrong?
Everything.
Jesus told Peter, when he told Peter and the disciples, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hand of sinners, shall suffer, and shall die, and rise again. Peter was the first one to rebuke Jesus. The Bible said he rebuked Jesus. He did not like the hearing of what he said. What? He got scared. I have put all of my confidence in you. I left my nets. I have followed you. I have seen all of the signs. You are supposed to be alive. No one can hurt you. No one should be able to injure you and die. You will die. What will that happen? What will that do to the rest of us? No, no, no. That is the wrong theology. He said to Jesus, don't say that. And Jesus told Peter for the first time, get behind me, Satan.
I don't understand why Jesus said that.
Because it was not Peter that is speaking. It was the spirit of the enemy speak in him, and that happens to many Christians today. Our misconception of faith in Jesus can lead us astray. And then he told Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But fear thou not, for I have prayed for you. And once thou art converted, go and strengthen the brothers. And after that he told Peter, you will deny me 3 times before the rooster crow. And Peter said, if the whole world denied you, I will not. He still had that conception that Jesus and his plan on earth can never permit him to suffer or to die. How is your relationship with Christ? Is he a form of Santa Claus? Give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. Or do you really have a personal relationship with him and know exactly how he works in your life and the life of others when he answers you yes, no, and wait? Do you have that personal relationship to fully trust him in thick and in thin, when it is night, when it is day, knowing 100% that he is God and Lord over the universe? Well, we know what happened, that when they arrested Jesus, Peter was still holding to his own misconception. And he went and got his sword and went and cut off the ear of that servant who was grabbing Jesus. And his ear fell off, and the man began to bleed, and people all got scared. Peter was trying to prove to Jesus that he will defend him. And Jesus told him, "Peter, that is pretty weak. Put your sword back in its place, because they that take by the sword, by the same shall be taken." And then, miraculously, Jesus took that ear off and placed it back into the servant's head, and the man was restored. You wonder how many people who came with this mob began to believe in Jesus. Jesus is able to take a very disastrous situation and a very bad decision we made to bring about restoration, faith, and salvation to us and all of those in our families who are witnessing, and many other people who are just there. It's amazing. And in heaven we will know, because the Bible does not say that many of these people or that servant believed in Jesus. Imagine if that happened to me. I don't know if anything on this earth will make me to doubt that this is a man of God. And lo and behold, when they began to grab Jesus and bound his hand and drag him down, and when Jesus looked physically helpless and weak, Peter began to doubt. And it seemed that when we pray sometimes for ourselves and for others, and things do not happen in time, the demon of doubt come, and the demon of fear try to take control. And so Peter began to worry and began to distance himself from Jesus, still having some faith that Jesus is going to release himself, and began to destroy his enemy. And things got from bad to worse. Situation under the guiding eyes of Jesus can deteriorate, but he is still the God of life. He is still the God of life. And in his time, he makes all things beautiful in his time. And so Peter's faith in Jesus began to wane off. And suddenly they grabbed Jesus, and he went through all of the trials. And Peter witnessed from a distance. And suddenly they dragged him and they began to beat him up. And boy, every time Jesus was hurt and abused by people, and he never responded back to release himself, Peter began to wonder if that was really the Son of God. And when they put the crown of thorn on his head and began to scorn him and spit upon him, and he is not responding back, Peter took a back seat and he went to sit away with the servants, hoping that no one would know him. And then the least of the servants came and said, "Aren't you one of his disciples?" And the Bible said he swore that he doesn't know the man. And for the second time, another servant who said, "I know this man is one of his disciples," the Bible said he cursed and swore that they got it wrong. Denial of Christ. And for the third time, and after the third time, the rooster crowed. And there the Holy Spirit come as Jesus prayed for Peter. Did you hear that? Jesus told Peter, "I prayed for you that your faith fail not." And here, the sound of the rooster. And here comes the Holy Spirit to convict Peter. And the Bible said he remembered the words of Jesus. In the time of great failure, in the time of great sorrow, when we are very low, the Holy Spirit will come to raise us back up again if we hear him. And at that time, the eyes of Peter locked with the eyes of Jesus. And the Bible said, at that moment, Peter ran and wept and cried and repented bitterly. "What is wrong with me?" That was the weakness of Peter that we have studied last week. And we mentioned that doubt and fear of loss, fear of injury, fear of rejection like Peter, and fear of death often lead us to doubt and loss of faith in Jesus. Jesus knows, and he told us what we're going to be going through on earth. It's not a surprise. It's not a surprise, but he said, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee, and I will be with you always, even unto the end of the earth." All authority is given unto him in heaven and on earth. And in his name we can conquer all odds. And every scar in our life, he can heal and turn into a star of glory that work for us and not against us. And this is the life of Peter. Here, very clearly, in 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind." But how can we get that? It is true. For God has not given us what? The spirit of fear. Now, the Bible said, "Fear the Lord." Every time the Bible said, "Fear the Lord," the Bible said, "Love and trust the Lord." That's not the fear he's talking about. He's talking the fear that has torment because of our own feelings, because of our own needs, because of our own failures, because of our own bad decisions, because of the violence in the world. There are so many things happening on earth that can induce our negative fears. And the Bible said, "My peace I give unto you. I have the power. Don't be afraid." And he showed us that in the New Testament, how he was with the disciples everywhere they went. God has not given the spirit of fear, but what? Of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Those are three mighty, mighty adjectives. How did the life of Peter change from weakness to strength? How did Peter become powerful? How did the love of God completely change everything? And how his mindset, cognitive restructuring, how his mind was completely altered and changed? And how did he become a complete different person? What are the steps that Peter took that is offered to all of us to take in order to experience the power of his name working signs and wonders in our lives and through us and to others? How can we experience the love of God in a very mighty, transforming, healing way in truth? And how can God give us a brand new mind like that of Christ to understand events? Here it is. The outcomes of our every endeavor, good or evil, is determined by two things. How do we interpret the events of our life? And secondly, how do we respond to them? If you interpret them in a spiritual way, you will respond to them in a spiritual way. The outcome are glorious regardless of the event. But if you interpret them in a very earthly, negative way and respond to it in an earthly, fearful way, the outcome are often dreary. So let us look at Acts chapter 4. And let us see the transformed Peter. How did he become transformed? And just to give you a hint, because I just give you a little introduction before I read the chapter. After, listen to this. After 90 days of the ascension of Christ, of the resurrection of Jesus, 90 days after the resurrection of Jesus, Peter has been transformed. So often people ask me, how long will it take me to be like Peter? I often refer that. 3 months, maybe. 3 years. Or it may never happen. It's all up to us if we can apply ourselves like Peter. It can be done very quickly. Remember what Jesus told Peter and the disciples. Said, "Once I ascend to heaven, go to Jerusalem and pray." And after Jesus ascended, remember, I said 90 days because after Jesus was resurrected, how many days did he stay on earth? Bible quiz.
40.
Very good, Sandra. That's a surprise. Very good. After his resurrection, the Bible said that he wandered on earth for 40 days. Then he ascended. And then the disciples prayed for how many days? Pentecost. 50 days. That is a total of 90 days from the resurrection of Jesus. And now what happened immediately on the 50th day, when all of them were praying, the Bible said, power came upon them. Where does the power come from?
God.
It comes from heaven. How can we obtain it? Through contrite and humble, sincere prayer. Not, oh, thank you God for everything. I'm going after my way. You don't experience the power of prayer this way. And many people just rushing. And they say, oh, Father, which art in heaven, and they go like that, and that's it. No, no, no. That is not the power of prayer. The disciples prayed throughout the day for everything. So the Bible said that they were confessing their sins and praying for one another. Power in prayer, Lord. Power in prayer. And after 50 days, the Holy Spirit descended upon them with great power and give them brand new heart and mind and a brand new tongue. They were no longer the illiterate, uneducated fishermen. They became highly educated with divine words of power and wisdom that have convicted the life and people from every nation. It says people from every nation came and heard them preach in their own tongue. And 3,000 people were converted in one sermon. And who was the preacher? Who was the preacher? Peter. The man who denied Jesus. He was the first one now. What happened? What happened to his fears? And actually, Jesus was physically not present anymore. Complete transformation. There is no more fear. And the Bible said that perfect love cast out all fears. And where this come from? When you pray and you see clear signs every day, you know that God loves you and favors you even as a struggling sinner. And the more you experience the power of faith and love and the power of prayer, the more your fears will subside. And then God will use you to help others with their own struggles and fears. So Peter began to preach the gospel, and then, not just that, it's amazing. Peter and John walking to the temple to pray, and outside the temple, here is a man that is lame, paralyzed from birth. And it was Peter who was the spokesman on behalf of Jesus. Peter says in front of everybody that was standing there, silver and gold have we none. We don't have money to give you. But that which I have, I give thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And the Bible said that Peter did reach down. He believed to help the man up. And the Bible said that the man, shivering, stood up on his knees, leaping and praising God. And he went inside the temple. Everyone knew who that man was. And now they can see that at the name of Jesus, the lame can be healed and restored. And then we know the story after that. The Pharisees, the high priest, everyone else who tried to pray for this man and he wasn't healed, began to be worried, began to be afraid. And the fame of Peter and John went throughout all Jerusalem. And the name of Jesus, the risen Savior, was glorified. And thousands of people, the Bible said, were added into his church. But did that make the devil now happy?
No.
He thought he had Peter. Now he recognized that he never was his. As we struggle with our sins, if you're going to be struggling, struggle toward the Savior like Peter. This is where the power comes from. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. If you look at the Bible, there was not anyone who was really righteous. They were all sinners. Yet, those who were humble and contrite and running into the Lord have received the imputation of the righteousness of Jesus upon them, and it is the power of his righteousness that took hold of them. That's where our hope is. So let us look now. All of his leaders are very angry that Peter and John are preaching in the name of Jesus, and great many signs and wonders are making place in the life of many people. So let us see now the encounter. Peter is going to face some trouble along with John. In Acts chapter 4, verse 1. And as they spake unto the disciples, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. Some angry people. Now, this is kind of odd. As I said, many Christians are misguided. Who are these people? Who is the high priest? It is the one that stands up to preach about God in the church. So are the Pharisees. So are the scribes who write every sermon down. And the Sadducees were also a group of believers, but did not believe in the resurrection. And the disciples were preaching resurrection in the name of Jesus. So they came to arrest him. Troubles. You know, you wonder if Peter in the past, the weak Peter, was standing far away, does not want to do anything with Jesus. And they were not after him. Now, they are coming in complete numbers after him. You wonder now if he's going to be fleeing or being afraid, or will he deny that he knows Jesus? A complete different man. So they came upon him, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventude. So they put them in prison. There's no mention here that Peter resisted or was afraid and said, please not. No, no, no. What do you think he was doing in prison? Praying and praising God. Because he knew where the power come from. And he knows that everything worked together for good to those who love the Lord and those called according to his purpose. He knew that. He didn't just know it. He believed it because he experienced that. And therefore, he's fearless. He's fearless. God give, God takes away. May the name of the Lord be glorified. Oh, I pray that we have such a faith as we continue to live on this earth. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Even though the man is in prison, and John, yet the Bible said through their own persecution, those who heard the word of God believed, and 5,000 men beside women and children were baptized into the body of Jesus. Affliction and suffering always, remember this, bring about trails of new blessings we never had before. Again, it is how you interpret your affliction and how you respond to it that determines the outcome. And verse 5, it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. A big trial. A big trial. No one escapes this trial. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power and by what name have ye done this? Heal the man. Did you hear that? God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now let us see how this worked together in this situation. So they asked him, by what power and by what name have you done this? Will Peter deny? Will he hesitate? Or what a great opportunity God has given him to correct path.
And then it says here, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost. Where the power comes from? The Holy Spirit. Said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye have crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him that this man stand here before you whole. Wow. From great disposition of weakness to a mighty disposition of power and strength. From cussing and swearing to praising and preaching with boldness, unafraid. And he is correcting them, and he summarized all of the gospel of Jesus Christ in one statement. Do you want to know how this man experienced a miracle of healing? When you and others and everybody and no physician could heal him? It is by the name of this man, Jesus Christ, whom you have crucified and whom God raised on the third day. Complete theology. If we have that faith of Peter, we can move mountains, my brothers and sisters. We can move mountains. I love his boldness and yet his humility. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. He is telling them about the prophecies of the Old Testament, in which they should know very well that that was indeed the Messiah that was prophesied upon to come and establish the foundation of his kingdom, the church, in which you have rejected. For he came to his own, and his own received him not. Wow. Do you think Peter is trying to make them feel bad?
Yes.
Absolutely not. Peter is speaking the truth in love. He's telling them what they know and what they were struggling to believe, hoping that the Holy Spirit will convict some or all of truth and set them free. He really cared about them. Because remember what Jesus told him before he ascended? Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know. He said, feed my sheep. Is he feeding the sheep? He's feeding them with some good living bread. How they take it, it depends on the spirit in them. Isn't that correct? So, and then he added in verse 12, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. You have problems in your life. You have problems in your family. You're living in fear because of some real events in life. Listen to what Peter said in this verse. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus Christ. There is power in the name of Jesus. So he answered them, by what power? And in whose name this man was made whole, but he gave them much more than they asked for. Now when they saw, listen to this, my brothers and sisters. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They knew that they were fishermen. They knew they were educated, uneducated. They'd never been to school. There is no masters of divinity. They did not get any education in any college. And look how they are speaking so eloquently and yet so powerfully with conviction. They became afraid and they got worried. They said, obviously, we've seen Jesus, their Lord, doing exactly the same. So there has to be something about that man called Jesus. Can people look at your life today, listen to you, see the new person in you, see how you're handling your own affliction, your own troubles, your own concerns, and learn from you the power of the cross of Calvary? That is why our affliction is a blessing. It gives us a great opportunity to have a brand new experience with the Lord Jesus Christ, and to allow others in the family, friends and others, to look at us and say, behold the power of the name of Jesus. We become witnesses unto him. Witnesses unto him. And then he continued in verse 14, and beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Evidence. When people look at us and see our transformed life, evidence, the devil cannot accuse us. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves. They asked Peter and John, okay, why don't you take them out for now? We need to talk about that. Who was experiencing fear now? The leaders of the church. The leaders of the church now were afraid. And let us see why. Saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle had been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. Man is here. Everyone knew the man, who knew who Peter and John is, who knew who prayed for the man and in whose name, and the man is here standing with them. We cannot deny that. So what are we going to do to them? But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name Jesus. So let us just get them in and really threaten them so they would not be preaching Jesus again. It worked when Jesus was being crucified. Will it work now? Peter is a changed man. Completely changed man in a complete different discourse of life, with a mission, with 100% certainty of who he is, who Jesus is, what is his calling is, and where he's heading. And they called him and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. Say, tell us, you are the high priest. You are the rulers of the church. Do you really want us to obey you or to obey God? What a question. What a question. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. That's my witness. Peter is saying, I am just going to be speaking the truth as I have seen it, heard it, and experienced it. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old, on whom the miracle of healing was showed. It's amazing. They chickened out. They cowered. They were afraid that mankind would harm them. And so they let Peter and John go. Now what will happen next? I love the story. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priest and elder had said to them. And when they heard, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. They glorified God, not themselves. Praise. Hymns of praise. Not just words of praise. Hymns of praise. Very much something that we can use to glorify God in all things. Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage, and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against the holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thine hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatening, and grant unto thy servant that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. The disciples were praising God that his word is true and is being fulfilled even after many generations. And now, because they have seen that, their faith in God and his word increased, and now they prayed again. Look, all of this is connected together. That's where the power comes from. And they prayed again, said, Lord, give us boldness that we may speak the name of Jesus for the salvation of souls. I need boldness. I need courage for everyday's living. How about you? And when they had prayed, listen to this, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they all had things in common. So when they were praying, a great power came upon them again. So where does the power come from? Where does the love come from? And where does the sound mind come from? From the Holy Spirit, through earnest, humble, contrite, meaningful prayer. And what is amazing, let me finish this so I can show you what's amazing about all of this. Neither was there any among them that lacked anything. They were fishermen, right? And the Lord said, drop your nets. Give up your job. I will make you fishers of men. Didn't you also say, I will supply all of your needs according to your riches and glory? What did the Bible say? They seeked first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things were just given to them. Said they lack nothing. I never heard Peter praying for money to help himself or support his family. It just happened. And here it is. Many of the people who were baptized recognized there's a much bigger purpose to live on this earth than what everyone else is doing. The rat race. I got to go to college. You got a degree to get a good job, because that is how I'm going to be secure, alive. Not true. I know people who never gone to school and who are living a very prosperous, blessed life. And I know people who have gone to school who are also living a prosperous, blessed life. But what is sad, most of the people who went to school and got jobs have very struggling lives. They cannot hold relationships together. They cannot hold homes together. They cannot hold a job. They have lots of internal turmoil because they believed in their own efforts, in their own degrees, in their own selves, in their own might and power, and have forsaken the fountain of living water, the Lord Jesus Christ. So here, Peter and all the people, rich and poor, gathered together, and the Lord blessed his church. That's what the church stands for. That's what the church stands for. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the pieces of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostle was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted as the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Barnabas was a Levite, one of those who were standing along with the side of the high priest and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, listening to Peter,
wondering about all of these miracles. And as a witness, the Holy Spirit took hold of him. And he believed in the name of Jesus. And his heart was changed. And he said, you know, I have lots of blessings. I know why I live now. I'm going to share it as an expression of love with all of those who need it. As a transformed life. So, what are the things that Peter did that we can do?
Well, he prayed.
To transform our lives and to experience true power over all things. And the love of God that heals, satisfies, fulfills our lives. And then the knowledge and the wisdom and the soundness of mind to make all decisions at all times, in want and in plenty, in health and in sickness, whether we have or have not. What did Peter do? I will be discussing that next week, but here are the three things right in front of you. The first one, faith in Jesus comes by hearing. A sermon is very good. I know that your faith and mine is always increased when we see how God worked in the life of others. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But nothing can substitute for daily devotion. All of these stories are here. Now you can partner with Christ every morning, every noon, every evening, at any time of the day. Say, Lord, speak to my heart from your living word. And let the Holy Spirit guide you unto all truth and show you the way. That's where you're going to get the power from. Why? That's what Paul said. He said, the word of God is what? Powerful. And sharper than any two-edged sword, to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And I will discuss more of that in detail next week. The second one is Sunday and what Peter did. Remember, Peter remembered the word of Jesus. Peter believed in the word of Jesus. And Peter acted on the word of Jesus. And Peter began to pray along with the rest. He received power. That's what the Bible is saying. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. More on that next week. And in James, it's just amazing. It is one thing to hear. It's another thing to experience it, right? It's amazing on Black Fridays, people get all of these ads, right? They hear the ads on the TV, they read it in the newspaper, in the close Walmart, all of these things will be in sale and the prices are clear. If people got excited about this information and stayed home, will they be able to go and get this for a good price? No. And it's amazing that people go and sleep next to the stores and stand up in long lines. Do they believe in the ads? Obviously. Do they trust the ads? Obviously. Were they willing to act on what they have heard?
Yes.
Obviously, they did. James is saying, faith without works is dead, being alone. So if we are to experience the power of faith, we got to put prayer and the word of God in action in our lives and in all of our decisions. And I will expound more on these three steps and how they really work for us in this coming week. So pray for me as I pray for you. And may now and until then, we daily experience new signs and wonders, looking only unto Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our life and faith. There is power in the name of Jesus, and he wants us to use it every day to conquer all odds. And as he blesses, he wants us to be witnesses like Peter unto all the world. This is my prayer and my desire in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we stand together?
our blessed God and Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer, Holy Spirit of the living God, thank you for calling us from the highways and the byways of life when we were lost in sin. Thank you for loving us so dearly still. Then, today, and tomorrow, thank you for calling us. Thank you for our health. Thank you for our sickness. Thank you for the things you blessed us with and the things we do not have. Thank you for all things. Today, Lord, we trust you alone, Jesus, who created us, over our hearts with all of its troubles and fears and needs, over the state of our minds with all of our limitations of knowledge and the absence of wisdom. We trust you over the body that you have given us as a temple of the Holy Spirit. You know our heart. You know our needs. You know our struggles. You know our petitions. You know our prayers. Lord, we trust you to take the reins of our lives. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And we know that everything that will happen to us will happen for our blessing and goodness, for the honor and the glory of your name. But we pray that your Holy Spirit, that was given to Peter and the apostles, to be given unto us to comfort us, to remind us of your living promises, to empower us to be your children, and to strengthen us in moments of weakness to know and to do your blessed good will and pleasure. In Jesus' name, amen.